Mr. Michael Curtis.
Hi, Dylan.
Uncle Mikey.
Uncle Mikey, you still remember that?
Oh, of course I remember that. It was one of my favorite comments on the video that we did. How long ago was it when we did that episode?
It's been a little over a year. I think it was last July, I want to say. Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, welcome everyone to the Design Today podcast. We've got a little treat that we're starting with today. Today, day one. And over the course of the next few weeks, I'm going to be having a reoccurring guest, my friend, Michael Curtis.
Hello,
so
everyone.
Thanks, Mike, for agreeing to this.
Yeah, you bet.
If you have been following along the Design Today podcast for any length of time, if you go back a year ago, I did have Mike on, over a year ago, right?
Yeah, it's been a little over a year. It's crazy how fast that goes, but yeah.
And recap what we talked about.
I mean, the episode was just called The UX of You, like how to apply the UX principles we already know on yourself. And it was a really fun discussion. And I think over the course of the year and a half that we've gone since then, we've both kind of just seen that we're doing the same thing, right? Like we're talking about so many of the same topics in your podcast, and I'm writing articles about it. And I just love that we're pushing this narrative forward and
same wavelength. Right,
so why not get together and talk about it?
Yep. I mean, we've known each other now for a couple years, and as our relationships evolved, you know, for those who don't know Mike, he's a fantastic designer, fantastic design leader, and maybe, hope you're right with it, probably even a better design mentor and design friend. I think there's not a person who's ever going to have anything negative to say about Uncle Mikey, even if they don't call him Uncle Mikey.
You can now.
You can, starting today. But we have been on the same wavelength, and I like what we're getting into, and that's the reason why I brought you on the show over a year ago to talk about applying UX principles to yourself. And that's also what stirred me to reach out to you a couple weeks ago and say, hey, I want to run a mini series with you, is that we're on the same wavelength here of an important topic for UX designers, but also for a professional in any field, and also just for someone who's participating in life. And we've got some fun stuff that we can dive into. Mike, do you want to share a little bit about why we're talking about these things?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, this whole thing kind of started for me a few years ago. And as I've gotten older in the design community, and as I've become more experienced and worked with a lot of different teams and product people, developers and product managers and designers. And then as you start to progress in your career, you start to mentor other people, and every single time, you know, you make these new connections and you meet people, and at least this is happening for me, I'm noticing in them these soft skills, right? I'm noticing in them these abilities that they have to really lead a room or read a room, or what is it about them? Is it that charisma? Is it that spark they have to drive communication forward and inspire a team? What is it? And it really, really fascinates me to dig in and find out about people. And then I might have shared this in the other episode that we did over a year ago, but I sat down with the students at a boot camp when I was running the evening program for them. And all of these students to me just felt like they had their craft down, and I didn't know what to share with them. I wasn't sure how to make them better at what they were doing. And so I reached out to some leaders in the community at the time. Mariah Hay, if you haven't heard her name, she was at the time at Pluralsight. Now she's since moved on to Help Scout. But Mariah just said to me, Mike, have them apply their UX skills to the way that they're experienced by other people. And I mean, I say that all the time when I tell people about this, but that message resonated with me so much to not only look back at my own life and see how I could, you know, help myself do that, but to help other people do that. And to really recognize this as an important aspect of becoming better people. I mean, you mentioned it. It's becoming better at life. And so over the years, I've written about it. I've talked, you know, in various settings about it. I've mentored people about it. And I'm telling you, I just wrapped up a couple of sessions with the Product Hive mentoring group that they were doing in online, and we were doing this over Zoom, and I had a couple of mentees I was working with, and both of those discussions over the course of a few months eventually drove us down this path of soft skills, self-awareness, and this ability that people have to just come out finally to me and just say, you know what, Mike, I'm shy and I can't get past it. It didn't matter anymore about the technical. It didn't matter mm-hmm. anymore about what vocational skills they had. It was breaking through this shell of being shy or not being able to conduct themselves in a way that was professional enough for people to listen to. So that's really driven the passion over these years, is just when you see that spark go off in someone or someone's vulnerable enough to talk about it, it makes you want to just dive in and help and then make yourself better, make them better. And that's really what's driving this. So,
yeah. And I like that story because I think it demonstrates that deep down inside, we know what is holding us back. And it's easier to kind of put up this facade and say like, yeah, but I'm just not as great at Figma as some of the other designers, right? But, you know, there could be some truth to that. But I hope people recognize through the course of this mini series that there are other skills that could potentially be holding you back from succeeding further. And I say that in the sense of like, it doesn't matter if you're a new designer trying to get into the field or if you're a UX veteran trying to figure out, you know, why have I been kind of paused or stalled in this game a little bit longer? Why am I not progressing anymore? This idea of a self-assessment and, you know, taking yourself where you're at and then improving it, just like you would a product that you're working on, that's kind of, I think, the foundation for how to improve and get better at some of these skills.
Absolutely. So,
as we move on through the course of this mini series, hopefully it's become apparent to you that we are talking about soft skills. We're talking about interpersonal skills. We're talking about emotional intelligence. And there's different themes that Mike and I have identified over the last week or two. Over the last couple of years, I guess, if you will. But as we've been preparing for this mini series, there's themes and topics that we've been noting and that we want to kind of share some thoughts and stories and help people assess themselves and figure out how to improve. As we go through this project, we're going to also issue challenges for those who are listening in this miniseries who want to improve in some of those interpersonal skills or soft skills. Mike and I are going to take those challenges ourselves. We're going to report back on them, and we're going to encourage you to take the challenge, do the challenge, report back via comments or however else you want to jump in and share these experiences that you're having. But we want to encourage everyone to take advantage of this little miniseries here and improve the UX of you.
I love it.
I did there.
Well, I think it's interesting because if you look at a traditional resume, right? Like we put so much attention and focus, and I realize how big of a problem this is. I remember a talk by Jared Spool about trying to redesign a plane ticket, you know, and the challenges that you face when you just want to make it look good. And I realize with a resume and the whole system of HR that what I'm about to say would be hard to pull off. But it is interesting that on a traditional resume, we look for those experience markers. Where have you worked? What work have you done? What's your education? Where did you go to college? What boot camp did you attend? And we highlight those things. And that's really where we draw the eye, where the attention mm-hmm. goes on a traditional resume. And where things are heading, think about automation in our world. Think about machine learning. Think about artificial intelligence. Think about voice control and what that is doing for us now. I mean, everything is moving in a way that some technical jobs are being replaced by automation. And that doesn't mean we're not going to need people. I need a designer who can design, who understands, like you said, Figma, Adobe XD, Sketch. I need a designer that can design. I need a developer that can write a piece of code, that can execute, really complex functions. That's something we need. I need a product manager who gets strategy, business strategy, and can launch my product, right? But what we have to realize is that these resumes, I would love to see a shift where they focus on the soft skills, because that is going to be the differentiator between I'm a designer that can design, I'm a developer that can write code, mm-hmm. but why do I want to work with you? What makes you stand out? And so that's you know, I realize that looking at a resume that way, it would be so hard for these resume readers and automation systems to go through and care enough about the fact that someone said some really nice things about me. and that I'm a great facilitator and active listener and communicator, how cool would it be if a resume was driven by testimonials from people that see you as someone who exemplifies soft skills, that is the epitome of soft skills, right?
Yeah.
And experience after experience of working with you, I look at that resume and just say, I need to call this person. You know, I'm glad they worked at XYZ company, and they went to this college and have this degree, but look at what these people are saying. I want to work with that person.
You know, what you've triggered in my mind is a little bit of a story that I'd like to share. And this is kind of the kickoff for me personally about why I got myself invested in this idea of soft skills in a professional environment. Because it wasn't an idea that I've been as passionate about if I were to rewind 5 years ago. But I had an experience about 2-3 years ago now where I had hired a couple interns for Domo, where I was working, and it was a summer-long internship, and I had 2 spots available. And as I started putting feelers out to hire this designer, I immediately received 60-some resumes and portfolios.
Wow.
And for these internships, you've got to understand that interns almost all look identical on paper, right? Because they've done a boot camp, they've done some sort of education, they've done some sort of project for school, and they've done maybe a project for their Uncle Mikey or whoever it was, right? And so on paper, they're all starting to look identical. And I realized, like, I can't make a call on who to hire.
Yeah. How do you?
When they all look the same, right?
Yeah.
And so I started doing a couple like video interviews. I started bringing people in to kind of get a better idea of personalities. But at that point in time, by the time I was doing these video interviews, I'd already made my first hire for the intern. And the reason I hired someone already was because they came in with a demonstration of their hard skills that blew us all away. This individual had created something that we had never even seen. They created a VR app of what Domo could do. And Domo doesn't have a VR app, no VR plans, but seeing some of these hard skills at play was really awe-inspiring, and it took people away, and you got hired. If I were to fast forward those 6 months into this individual's internship at Domo, they got let go 2-3 weeks before their internship was up.
Oh, wow.
And it's kind of the shocker and kind of the climax of that experience is like, what happened? This was a standout candidate that was escorted out of the building 2 weeks before their internship was up. And I don't share the name of this individual because I actually think very highly of this individual. But what happened throughout the internship was that some of these soft skills that you and I are going to discuss over the coming weeks weren't demonstrated. Even if that individual had it, didn't know how to demonstrate them in the workplace environment, and it hurt them. You know, we would get into meetings, and as soon as critique would begin, this individual would get defensive. And I would get side eye from other directors or product managers going like, are you going to do anything about this? And I felt so awkward going like, yeah, I don't know what to do, though. How do I teach him to stop getting so defensive in these meetings and not to take things personally? And
yeah,
it became very apparent that this was difficult. And we would get into other meetings, and it was just kind of like a ta-da presentation. And the story or the journey that we went on to get there wasn't delivered. And so the ability to articulate their thoughts wasn't showcased. And, you know, time and time again, there were some of these more interpersonal skills that need to happen with inside of a workplace that just weren't demonstrated. And the cherry on top was this event that took place near the end of their internship that was kind of the piece that pushed us over the edge and what led to him ultimately being let go on the spot. And I looked back at that experience going like, Dylan, you were charged to bring on the first UX interns at Domo, and you screwed it up. And I evaluated for so long going like, where did I go wrong? And I kind of made that epiphany of why the other intern was succeeding, even though the other intern arguably may not have been like the greatest intern we've ever had, but why were they succeeding still? And I go, it was in her personality. It was in her manner of conducting business. And so from that point forward, I started diving more into like, what is the difference between those two interns And I stumble upon this idea of like the interpersonal skills, the emotional intelligence, or what they call EQ as opposed to IQ. The first intern had all the IQ in the world. The second intern had all the EQ in the world. And one of them succeeded while the other one didn't. And as I went further down this research path, I came across a Harvard business study in collaboration with Carnegie. And this study said that 15% of workplace success came back to the hard skills.
That's just incredible.
And if it's only 15%, then where's the other 85% of success? It's in the soft skills. And that was demonstrated case in point with my first two interns that I brought on board. And I kind of came to this resolution of here on out, I need to know these interns like the back of my hand, because at the end of the day, I'm going to be spending 40 hours a week with them. I'm spending more time with them than I am my wife and my kids on a weekly basis. And I want to make sure that we can work effectively, not just me and them, but also the team that they're going to be working with. Like, I need to be confident in their EQ as opposed to their IQ, because I've got a lot easier time teaching you the ins and outs of Figma or Sketch than I do how to teach you to be more teachable or... Yep. You know, the time it's going to take me to teach you how to read a room. Like, those skills are harder to develop on the spot. I feel like teaching you how to animate something in After Effects, I'll give you 2 days and a couple of tutorials, you'll be good to go. And so I kind of committed myself to that. If you're a 6 on the hard skills and a 9 on the soft skills, you will be hired before the 9 on the hard skills and the 6 on the soft skills.
So I want to share something too, because it's something that I've recently come across, but I've been able to tie it to an event from my past, kind of tell a story here. So back when in my early 20s, I bought from my friend from high school, I bought his Nissan Pathfinder, and it was this beautiful red Pathfinder, just gorgeous. And when we were in high school, when I first rode in this Pathfinder, we were jamming out to Tool, and he had this amazing sound system in there, right? And when I got the Pathfinder from him, you know, what, five years later, I was really stoked. It had a lift. It was beautiful. He kept it in really good shape. However, inside the Pathfinder, he didn't leave the stereo. He didn't leave it in there. And I'm a music guy. I love it. And so I began to look for the best speakers and the best amplifier that I could find, because to me, that's how I connected with the music playing in my car, was through the amplifier, through the speakers, through that, you know, the investment you make to make sound good. I like bass. I like the highs, the lows, the mids, everything. And I want people through this mini series to kind of think of soft skills that way, as the amplifiers to what we already know how to do, the hard skills. If you look at hard skills as qualifying for us for a job, the hard skills qualify us. We can check a box and say they do know how to use Figma, right? The soft skills will amplify what we know how to do, how we can present, how we can facilitate, how we can listen better. They are the amplifiers to what makes things work. And the interesting, if you continue that analogy a little bit, is that what makes a good amplifier work is its ability to cross over across frequencies. Every amplifier uses a crossover, because it has to understand how to move around within the frequencies coming into that amplifier and send signals to the subwoofers, to the tweeters, to send out the signals correctly. It has to be able to cross over into these different areas. That's the analogy that I hope we can have come across, is that as we develop these soft skills, they cross over into our lives. I mean, when you look up soft skills, how to improve soft skills, what soft skills are important, go Google any of that. I promise you, it will post after article will focus on the workplace. But focusing on the soft skills as we help people learn how to be more teachable, even how to teach someone to be better at these things through this series, I really feel like we're going to be able to improve people's lives as well at home. I mean, if you can, at work, if you can stand in front of a group of people and really articulate your ideas and your vision, and you are confident up there, think of what that can do when you need to come home and with confidence, you need to instill confidence in your 9-year-old son who thinks he's terrible at everything. mm-hmm. and doesn't have a growth mindset and is fixated on the failures, think of what that's going to do for you in life to be able to have better relationships, more trust. That's what I'm excited about with this series is, and then we take those challenges on with the listeners of your podcast and we go do it and we come back with stories and we say, look, that was not easy, but I did it. And here's how I failed or here's how it was great. So yeah, if we can think of it as soft skills amplify, they are the amplifiers to what we're trying to do out here in the tech world or in life in general. That's what I'm excited about.
No, I 100% agree. And I like your focus on your car metaphor. I like the crossover analogy. And I like what you're driving at here. My only 2 cents that I would add on to that would be that it reminded me, where do you learn these hard skills? Yeah, I think a lot of the sources that you're going to find when you search for Google, you're going to find things talking about the workplace. But I was asked this question in a presentation I was giving on this topic. Is like, great, Dylan, I understand the importance of soft skills. How do I go about learning them? What are we doing to learn them? Because again, it's not directly written inside of the curriculum. And if you're in school, you're not going to find a chapter on leading a discussion, right? You're going to be focusing on discovery techniques and workshopping techniques. Like that's what the curriculum is written for. So how do I work on articulating my thoughts? And I got to this point where I was thinking that, group projects in school don't reward you for conflict resolution, right? Your grade is ultimately on the end result that you delivered to the teacher. But in those group projects, although not necessarily graded on conflict resolution, that's where you practice it. And that's where you improve some of these soft skills, right? So when I was asked, Dylan, I understand the importance of soft skills. Where do I practice it? I go like, you can practice it in your group projects. You can practice it at home. It's not necessarily something that you're saying like this is going to be found in chapter 8 of this textbook, but you practice it with your kids. You practice it with your wife, your neighbors, your friends, your social group, whatever it may be. That's where you practice it. You practice it in life and it bleeds over into the workplace. What you learn in the workplace bleeds over into your life. And that's kind of the crossover analogy that you're talking about before, is that it does benefit you in all aspects of your life.
Yeah. You had a post on LinkedIn, I don't know, a month ago, right? That really resonated with me because you asked the question, maybe you can, I'll just paraphrase, but essentially, what are the skills that are important to, I don't know if you asked if it was for hiring managers, but essentially, what are you guys looking for? And you included a few people in that and it just kind of took off. I mean, I want to say there was at least 100 comments on there about, And I'm telling you, there was nothing in there about, I wish they knew Figma better. I wish, it was all about, I think some of the top responses were active listening, communication, and that to me, and facilitation, that to me just rang true with what we're trying to do here, where we just need to take some time to bring this to the surface, but then really dig into how we teach it, how we can help someone become better at it.
Well, and I'm glad you brought that up because for the sake of time, I want to get into kind of giving those listeners an overview of where we're going over the next couple of weeks. And then before we wrap, talk a little bit about self-assessing. Mike and I have been compiling a list of those soft skills that we want to talk about. And that list got really long. And so we're going to have to kind of combine a couple ideas and group a few together. But just to give you an idea of what's to come over the coming weeks, we're going to talk a little bit about active listening, without thinking about your next point, without introducing bias, getting everybody on the same page, validating other people's opinions. You've probably heard the saying, you've got 2 ears, one mouth, use them accordingly.
I love that.
restating other people as part of validating. We're going to talk about empathy. That was a hot topic in that LinkedIn thread where people were talking all about the buzzword of empathy and its importance. Or, some people would even argue about how it's actually not as important in a UX standpoint. And I think there's some truth there that I can dive into as well. We're going to talk about communication, articulating your thoughts and your design choices, bringing people on the journey, defending your ideas, but also being able to take critique. Seeking context when you don't have enough, the storytelling part of collaboration and communication as well. We're going to talk about playing off of other people's ideas in the sake of collaboration and leaving your ego at the door. We'll talk about getting feedback, receiving feedback, and then some of the other important pieces in collaboration that may include conflict resolution. So we've got quite a breadth of topics that we're going to be covering and grouping together. Do you want to talk a little bit about what we'll be talking about next week or next time?
Yeah. I mean, so really we need to dive into this self-assessment part of it. We need to figure out how people can self-assess and learn about themselves and where to improve. And because that's one of the hardest, sometimes we just set this bar for ourselves that's so high, and we set these lofty goals when we really need to just lower that bar and see where we can actually start to improve these areas. And so we want to start diving into that self-assessment side of it so that, you know, people can self-assess and understand where they are in the landscape of soft skills.
The assessment is one of the most crucial pieces to this process, right? As Mike and I were talking about earlier, going, you know, how do you say that you've now achieved one of these soft skills? There's not a bar to say like you've reached the finish line. And these are lifelong skills that you're going to have to refine and master. So we do feel like one of the most important steps in this process is just kind of taking yourself where you're at. What do you feel is holding you back? Where do you know that if you look inside the heart of hearts, you know, yeah, I do struggle with leaving my ego at the door. Or I do struggle in taking critique. I don't like people telling me that my work's bad. I take it personally. You know, we got to self-assess in order to take the next step of improvement. So we'll jump into that more detail next time.
Sounds great.
Okay. Well, then I think we can wrap here. And I thank everybody for joining us. Mike, is there anything we want to leave people to do today?
So, I mean, they can start to think about that right now. I mean, start to think about, this is important. These are not going away. I mean, there are reports after reports showing that these, and Dylan's post on LinkedIn. I mean, there's just so many places to look to say these soft skills are now becoming the real skills. Seth Godin calls them the real skills. So start the assessment now. We'll go over those. We're going to challenge ourselves next week to start implementing some of this stuff. But start now. I mean, start looking. Start really taking a deep dive into what they are and where you might be lacking. Start now.
Cool. And there's a lot of research out there right now. And I'm finding more and more of those articles. I just saw one last week. Sarah Duty, who's, you know, a friend of mine, a guest on the podcast, she had an article about five important soft skills for UX designers. And I've seen so many of those articles over the last year or so that if you start doing your digging, if you start doing your YouTubing, whatever it may be, you're going to find some topics to get yourself familiarized with.
Yep.
Cool. Well, thanks, Mike, for joining me. This is the first of a beautiful thing. we got a lot to dive into over the next few weeks. So thank you, Mike. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. This has been an introduction to our mini-series on soft skills, and we will pick this up in 2 weeks, and we'll be doing these on alternating weeks in between our guest interviews, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for joining.